I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5:30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
All right, let's go right into former President Donald Trump speaking right now after the jury has been seated in New York.
The case is ridiculous. It's another one. The case is a ridiculous Trump indictment. It's missing fraud. There is no fraud. All of these stories are stories of how, and these are done by the experts and editorials, Bragg falsified business record, and he falsifies them. He's the one. He's the fraud. But take a look at all of these are stories. You see them here. Bragg's indictment even falls as an indictment. All of them. Bragg crosses the Rubicon, indicting Trump on nonsense. The whopping outrage in Trump's indictment. It's a whopping outrage, and it is an outrage. Everybody's outraged by it. You know, we had 18 DA or DA types, or close. 18 or 19 or 21, if they counted all their in and out life. And in the meantime, you have murders going on right outside in New York. Look at this National Review. Another National Review. Jonathan Turley, Greg Jarrett, Andrew McCarthy. Every one of them saying they call it a zombie case, meaning it is no case. And they say, is it constitutional? They don't think the case is. These are all stories that have taken place over the last few days. Take a look at this. D.A. Bragg wants us to believe that his pursuit of Trump isn't political. Of course it's political. And they're doing it for Biden. They're doing this for Joe Biden. Even the Rolling Stone, no friend of mine, they don't like Bragg's chances on this case. It's a disgrace. That's a nice headline. I'd like to read that one, too. But every one of them lies about the case. Justice is on trial. You know, the whole world is watching this New York scam. The trial spectacle begins. That's Wall Street Journal. It's a spectacle. Every one of these. America is a third world country. Daily Caller. Wow. That's New York Magazine, even. All of them, they just came out. These are all, every single one. I haven't seen one says it's a good job. It's political. This is a Wall Street Journal editorial. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room. Freezing. Everybody was freezing in there. And all for this. And this is your result. Look at that. Each one of them is a story. And it's very unfair. Very bad thing. Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess. And you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by a lot. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family. He should be in trial. But he's the one in charge. His top people are here working with the DA's office to make sure everything goes right. But it shouldn't go right because they have no case. And that's what this is all about. And it really is a shame. This country is devolving into a third world country between having no borders, having no justice. We have no justice, and having a press that doesn't want to cover the facts. So thank you very much. See you tomorrow.
Former President Donald Trump right there. We have the jury now. 12 jurors selected. 5 alternates are still needed. Look, everything he just said is right. He had a stack of papers in his hand. He had a stack of news articles. All those articles, maybe one of them he had was the one I just referenced from Jacob Sullum over at Reason.com. A whole big stack, probably 4 or 5 inches thick of articles, all calling this case a joke, a travesty on every single level. And it is, on every level, a joke and a travesty. On every level. Look, I've been through this with you in great detail, but just a couple headlines here, just a couple top lines to think about. Number one, philosophically, everybody should have a problem with them taking the Republican nominee for president off the playing field for potentially 2 months, keeping him in a blue state where he has no chance of winning. I'm sorry, but New York's not in play. I know some people think it is, but look, I've been in politics a long time. You got to focus on the states that you need to win, that he can win, like Pennsylvania, for example, and that's where he should be, and they are benching him and keeping him in New York. And I thought Caroline Leavitt made a great point when she said, imagine if they did this to Joe Biden, keeping him in Alabama right now and not letting him go out and campaign. You'd have Joe Scarborough's head blowing up and all these other people would be going crazy. So for all these people who scream day in and day out about the death of democracy, how is it okay for democracy where you have the Republican nominee, the de facto, I mean, he's going to be, but technically he is, off the playing field. The voters don't get to hear from him and he does not have the ability to campaign. Now, from a legal perspective, Alvin Bragg has no authority off a federal law. So even if this was a federal campaign violation, he has no authority in the area. He's a district attorney of New York. He doesn't have federal jurisdiction. But the question of whether or not this is a federal offense has not been resolved because I'm telling you right now, there is nothing in the Constitution that requires presidential candidates to disclose if somebody's made an allegation of an affair. There's nothing under federal law that says presidential candidates must disclose that information or may not take efforts to keep that information from becoming public. People make allegations all the time, and I personally don't care what happened between him and Stormy Daniels. It's none of my freaking business. But it's very possible he didn't want his wife to know. True or not, he may not have wanted his wife to know. There are people who sometimes make accusations against men, and they're not true, and the accusations alone have the force of destroying a family and a marriage. And it happens all too often. People make allegations against people because they hear rumors and gossip, and Trump's a target for all that. Famous people are targets for that. Powerful people are targets for that. Delusional people make allegations and people hear that and then you destroy families. And maybe Trump did not want that to happen to his family. I don't think it would have made a damn bit of difference to voters one way or the other if they knew about the Stormy Daniels allegation. I don't think it would have changed a single mind. I really don't. Look, if you still voted for him after the stupid bus tape, the NBC tape came out, if you didn't care about that, if you didn't care about the fact the guy's been married 3 times, why would that have made a difference and changed your mind? It wouldn't have. But there's no way to prove that it would have or wouldn't have. You can't prove something that happened in the past that could have happened in a different way. You can't use that as a basis for law. It's ridiculous. So Alvin Bragg's argument that had people known, they may not have voted for Trump, there's no way to qualify that. You can't qualify that in any way. But the other reason why this is such a ridiculous case is the fact that this all happened after he was elected president. The falsification of business records, which is the only issue they have here, happened in 2017, not 2016. Alvin Bragg is trying to connect 2017 to 2016 by saying, by having the money paid to her in 2016, the allegation did not become public, therefore voters were misled. He has no authority in that area. He can't prove that it would have changed any votes. And even if he could prove it, even if he had some magic eight ball that would show that Trump would have actually lost, he has no authority under federal election law. The only authority he has is on the issue of falsifying business records, and the statute of limitation of that expired. It's a misdemeanor and it expired. This should not be happening. This is an outrage. The fact that you've got people on the left and the media who have no problem with keeping this man in a courtroom while Joe Biden gets the campaign in Pennsylvania all by himself, the fact that people don't have a problem with that says a lot about our country and how people, they hate him so much, they're willing to see the actual destruction of democracy, which is that when you've got one of the two major party candidates in a courtroom for 2 months, not out there with the voters. That is, it's unfair to him as a candidate. It's unfair to the voters. And the other part about this, too, that really infuriates me here is that he has to be in that courtroom. He doesn't have a choice. He can't leave. They will arrest him. He can't say, all right, I'm going to let my attorneys handle this and leave. It is a criminal case, and he has to be in that courtroom. It's outrageous. In every level, it's outrageous. And I don't know how anybody can think this guy can get a fair trial in New York City. I mean it. I don't know how anybody can think that. I know it only takes one juror. Thank God. I believe that's the case in this instance, but who knows? Maybe New York's changed that rule too. But knowing how much they hate him and want to stop him, I just don't know how anybody can think he'll get a fair trial. Opening arguments in this case are going to be selected on Monday. Are going to be started on Monday, excuse me. Now, Matt DeSantis, is this trial going to be televised?
I don't believe so. I don't think there's going to be any courts in the or any cameras in the courtroom.
Well, that's a disappointment. Because at least we could have watched this travesty play out on television instead of just having pictures. I'm so angry that this is happening to, and I know that you don't believe me when I say this if you're on the left, but I'd say the same thing if Joe Biden was in court. It's outrageous. This is stupid. Trump didn't kill anybody. This isn't a murder case. This case is based on such flimsy ground. And who are the victims in this case? Who are the victims? Stormy Daniels got paid. She's not a victim. In fact, the courts ruled against her and said that she defamed Trump. Had to pay his attorney's fees. And the other part about this, too, is that Trump lost New York State. If you use this argument that Alvin Bragg uses to say that the voters were duped because they didn't know about allegations of an affair, Trump lost New York. The only area where this jackass has jurisdiction is New York. That's it. And Trump lost. You can't tell me that the voters were duped. It'd be one thing if he won the state. And then, you know, all this polling data came out that said people would have changed their vote if they knew that Stormy Daniels alleged to have had an affair with him. Okay, maybe you can make that argument, but he lost. He lost New York City, which is the only jurisdiction that Alvin Bragg has jurisdiction of. Trump lost New York. Got news for you. Of the five boroughs, he did very well in Staten Island, and that's it. The other four boroughs, not so good. He's the Manhattan DA anyway. He lost Manhattan. So this is beyond stupid and outrageous. But let's think philosophically here for a moment about this issue of hush money and what this means and why the fact of the matter of this is so offensive to me. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It is that when you are in public life, the notion that everything about your life is now subject to the review of the media, the people, keeps a lot of good people from wanting to be in politics, quite frankly. You know, everybody makes mistakes in life. Everybody does things they regret. And there are people, I've talked to them before, I said, you should run for office. I've run for office before. I've been a candidate on the ballot. I've talked to people and tried to get them to run for office, and they say to me, I don't want to go through that. I don't want my life under a microscope. I don't want them going back and looking at things I did in college. I don't want them talking about my finances. I don't want to deal with that. People have been divorced. They don't want to have their divorce records aired out in public. And it creates a situation where very talented people say, I want no part of this. And so you're left with a bunch of nimrods running for office all over the place. They're good people running, too. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying there's a lot of people that just don't want to deal with it. So this adult actress comes in and makes an allegation of an affair. First of all, whether or not he had an affair, it's irrelevant to me. It has no bearing on me whatsoever. What two consenting adults do in the privacy of their own time is not my business. And if anything, it's business between him and his wife. And as voters, I think voters would agree with that. But even if philosophically, as a country, we believe that adultery is so wrong that it has to be an allegation of that must come to the forefront and the voters must have a say because of our puritanical roots or whatever you want to give me, you've got to base that on something. And the only basis would have to be law or the Constitution. So in other words, if Congress passes a law that says the people have a right to know about sex act or sexual accusations act or sexual affairs allegations act or whatever the hell it is, you know, they'll call it the Stormy Act. If Congress passes the Stormy Act where presidential candidates have to disclose allegations of extramarital relations, well, then that's one thing. Although I would argue that would be completely unconstitutional since the Constitution sets the requirements for the presidency and you can't add requirements to that. So I would argue that would be completely unconstitutional. And I would hope that law would be challenged in court. No different than if they passed a law that said presidents need to have bachelor's degrees or presidents need to have IQs of 140 or have to have $1 million or have to be 5'9" or have to be anything. Anything that's outside of Article 2 does not apply, period, as a basis of law. So then how can you sit here and tell me that Trump had an obligation to disclose this? No more than Trump had an obligation to disclose if he cheated at golf, which, by the way, people think he does. I don't know. I've never golfed with the guy. I don't play golf. But he has no, this is like Alvin Bragg coming out and saying, this guy alleged Trump cheated at a golf game, and if people knew he cheated at golf, they might think he cheats at other things, and so therefore, since he didn't disclose that, I'm charging him with a crime. Because Michael Cohen bought the guy lunch, and Trump paid the Cohen back for buying him lunch. It's so stupid. It's beyond ridiculous. Beyond ridiculous. And then all you have to do then, think about this now, all you have to do to destroy a candidacy is come out then and make an allegation of an affair. Because if the president or the candidate wants to keep that private, if he wants to keep it, maybe it happened and wants to just keep it private from his family. And since the law does not require he disclose it, the Constitution does not require he disclose it, then he has every right as a private citizen in that moment to keep that from the public. The founders did not believe that presidents needed to disclose aspects of their personal lives. Otherwise, they would have put it in Article 2. Think about that for a moment. Look, you make your decisions on the candidate based on a variety of factors. And whether or not you factor in a person's marriage or not, that's a personal decision. That's a personal choice. I'm not going to take issue with you if you do or you don't. That's fine. It's up to you. I don't care. I don't care what you factor in. For me, with him, it's irrelevant. And I'm sure you wanted to keep Melania from finding out about the allegations of Stormy Daniels. It doesn't make it true. There are a lot of allegations that are not true that can destroy people. But that's irrelevant. Whether or not you think that that matters is not the point. The point is, in this constitutional republic, we set the requirements for the presidency in the Constitution. And the last time I checked, Article 2 has nothing in it that says the president has to be at least 35 years old, born in the United States, naturalized citizen, 10 years, whatever it is. Oh, and also, if a woman comes forward or a man and makes an allegation of an extramarital affair, he must disclose that to the voters. Last time I checked, that's not there. So then how the hell can you argue to me this is a campaign finance violation? Any different than if some bozo from college were to come forward and talk about a story where, you know, he was chugging beers and using a funnel and all these other things, and somebody said, you know, I don't want that story to come out. It makes me look bad. It makes my kids look bad. I don't want my kids thinking that about me. Can you just not talk about that? Sure, give me $50,000. I won't say that. Fine. I'll give you $50,000. Sign this agreement. You don't talk about that college frat party. Okay. Do the voters have a right to know that I did a funnel in college? A funnel of Milwaukee's best? No, they don't. They don't have a right to know anything about a presidential candidate under the law. I'm not talking philosophically. I'm talking about under the law. And that's all we deal with in this country. We're a nation of laws. We're not a nation of opinions. We're not a nation of philosophy. We're a nation of law. So until Article 2 is ratified or amended, to add other things in there of what presidential candidates must disclose, or that they can only be married once, or that they can't have ever cheated on their wife, or that they can't have ever had children, or that they can't have ever done drugs, or until any of those things go in there, those things are not subject to being required disclosures to the voters. And if they're not required disclosures to the voters, then it's between you as a voter and the candidate if that truth comes out or if the allegation comes out. It's between the two of you. It's between you and the candidate, period. It's not a matter of law. It's not a matter of court. Let's understand that. If I find out that a candidate was accused of something and then that candidate comes out and says, yeah, I did it and I don't like it, that's between me and the candidate. It's not a matter of law. If the candidate broke the law, it's still not a matter of law. There's nothing under Article 2 that requires that presidential candidates have to disclose their criminal records. Now, these things all come out because opposition research is so good. These things come out. But again, it's not a requirement. So whether or not I have a problem with the allegations Stormy Daniels made, or whether or not I think he's a freaking hero for maybe going and having a relationship with Stormy Daniels, is irrelevant to the law. It's irrelevant to our constitutional republic because we don't base things on philosophy. In Alvin Bragg's twisted mind, hey, Alvin, I got an idea. What if that allegation had actually come public in 2016 and a bunch of people would have said, that guy... You mean he slept with a porn star? Oh, I'm changing my vote from Hillary Clinton. That's awesome. You can't prove that any more than you can prove that people who voted for him would not have voted for him. You are talking about hypotheticals when we don't deal in hypotheticals in this country. We deal with the law. We deal with the Constitution. And since there's no requirement, you cannot argue it's a campaign expenditure. Because federal election law is very clear on what candidates have to disclose on their forms. And nothing under federal election law requires that if you pay somebody money to be quiet about an allegation of any kind, you cheat at golf, you cheat at poker, you had a frat party where you guzzle beer, whatever the hell it is, you have to disclose that on your election report because the American people have a right to know about the allegation. You don't have a right to know a damn thing. I don't have a right to know a damn thing. Sorry, but that's the way it is. And you don't have to like that. But too bad. That's between you and the candidate. If you feel like a candidate is not disclosing enough of his personal life to you, then you don't vote for him. If you feel like a candidate has disclosed too much of their personal life to you and you don't like that, don't vote for them. These are individual decisions, but they're not decisions under law. They're not decisions in Article 2. They're not requirements in Article 2. And it is outrageous that you're keeping the Republican nominee for president of the United States sidelined in a general election in a blue state he cannot win over something that is not a crime. Over something that you have no business as a voter having a right to know about. You have no right to know about a Stormy Daniels allegation. None whatsoever. Under the law, you have no right to know. There is no federal right to know law that says candidates have to disclose allegations of extramarital affairs or cheating at golf or cheating at poker or anything else, or you owed a guy money and you never paid him back, whatever it is. Nothing. So then how the hell can you argue that Donald Trump has broken the law by not disclosing this on a campaign report, which, by the way, we would not have had to file until after he was elected anyway? Because the campaign filing deadline for expenditures in the fourth quarter of 2016 are not due until the first quarter of 2017. So it still would not have become public. And the mere presence of paying Stormy Daniels to keep her silence? What if she didn't? What if she came out and said it anyway? Has Alvin Bragg ever thought about that? What if Stormy Daniels took the money, violated the terms of the NDA, and went out there and said it anyway and said, Donald Trump and I had sex. He cheated on his wife and had sex with me. That could have happened. And whether or not that would have changed votes away from Trump, whether it would have got Trump votes, maybe a bunch of college guys would have been like, this guy's awesome, and voted for him as opposed to staying home. Who the hell knows? I can't know that. You can't know that. Nobody can know that. That's why this case is so stupid. Because you're talking about hypotheticals you can't qualify, you can't prove. And it's irrelevant. You don't have a right to know about allegations of anything, period. If a candidate had a DUI, you don't have a right to know about that. It'll come out. Believe me, it will come out. But you don't have a right to know about that. And if you find out after the fact or on election day about it, and you're angry that you found out on election day and you change your vote, that's between you and the candidate. It is outrageous that this man is in court. It is outrageous that the Republican nominee for president of the United States is not able to be campaigning in the middle of a general election. You've taken this man off the playing field for 2 months over a ridiculous interpretation of a law that does not exist. Creating your own federal election laws in your head, Alvin Bragg, and then applying that federal election law that you made up in your head, of which you have no jurisdiction over anyway, applying that to some standard that doesn't exist. Which is that voters wouldn't vote for somebody if there was an allegation of an affair. How do you know that? This is ridiculous. And obviously, I am so angry about this, as you can tell, clearly. 855-839-1210 is the number. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we are discussing today, as I will try to catch my breath. This is supposed to be our happy hour. Brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I am happy. Not about this, but I'm happy that we'll be there live on May 3rd. And God knows if I was there right now, they'd be bringing me a drink. Maybe Matt DeSantis, they'd be walking over with one of those smoked old fashions with, you know, to see the smoke coming off the top of it, you know?
They're very fancy.
Do you think I was passionate in that segment? Because, again, I want to make sure that I'm opening up and I'm letting the audience really know how I feel about things.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they can probably tell where you stand.
You sure? Because, again, as we air check this, I want to make sure I'm being clear in how I feel and not being wishy-washy.
I'm fairly certain that you hammered the point home.
I don't know. You're very monotone this whole segment.
Could have been more explicit.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on this. I'm new with this talk thing, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. That level of passion one day will be there. I know. Someday. But no, I am happy because we're going to be live at the Grand Hotel on May 3rd, Friday, May 3rd. And yes, Matt and Henry will be there too. So I know you ladies love them and they'll be there live. It's going to be a fun day. I think you guys are a draw. Don't sell yourself short. I'm telling you. Well, chicks dig you guys.
Henry had the mullet, then maybe, but the mullet's gone, so I don't really know what we collectively
mullet.
Bring to the table now.
Oh, you remember the mullet days? Those were good days.
He cut the mullet off right before our first Cape May broadcast last year, I believe.
No,
yes,
correct? No.
Yeah, it was.
No. There are pictures of me with it at Cape May.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Can we blow those up?
Please don't.
Can we get a life-size Henry with a mullet so people can take pictures next to it?
Oh, I should have just said nothing.
Oh, wait. I remember when he cut it. It was after the promo aired, which stated that Henry and his mullet would be at the broadcast. He chopped it right off 2 seconds later.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. True. All right. Well, listen, Dr. Mike Venier, well, thank you to the Grand Hotel for sponsoring our happy hour. And please come May 3rd to our live broadcast. The Grand Hotel is my happy place, and I'm always happy there. So I look forward to seeing you there. And I want to thank Dr. Mike Veneria for giving me a great smile. He is the master of dental implants. He's the master of making you look your best, giving you the smile of your dreams. And there's no one better than Dr. Mike Veneria. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, right over the bridge, he is the man. I've been telling you about him for a while now because my entire family goes to him. The level of care and commitment to dental excellence that Dr. Mike and his staff delivers to each and every patient is simply unmatched. He's been delivering results that surpass expectations, and that has made him a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. And remember, dental implants is complicated dentistry. If you've had an estimate for complicated dental work, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike. You'll be glad you did. You have a choice, clear choice for you and your family. So give Dr. Mike Veneria a call today. I promise you won't be disappointed. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Or visit VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. He's my buddy. He's my friend. He's the master of dental implants. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Remembering Dickie Betts today of the Allman Brothers Band.
Great train.
One of the best, one of the absolute best. Thanks for being here today, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, as we talk about a lot of things. I'll get into Biden and the fake cannibal story that's now officially been debunked by the White House, as well as some more thoughts on the juror selection. But Gerald Posner is an award-winning investigative journalist, author of the new book, Pharma, Greed, Lies, and the Poisoning of America. And he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. How you doing, my friend?
Good, Rich. Great to be back with you.
I really appreciate it. You have an excellent piece you just wrote in the New York Post. Non-binary neurodivergent activists ordering psychiatrists to push gender-affirming surgery over therapy. This is an outrage. I'm glad you're here to talk about it.
Well, it's absolutely crazy, because in the last few months, there's been a bit of sanity returning to this issue of whether children under the age of 18, children, adolescents, should be allowed to change their gender and go through surgeries and hormones and all this stuff. Irreversible, lifelong consequences you're asking kids to make the decision on. And so people said, okay, you know what? Maybe we got ahead of our skis on this. We should slow it up. Even the most progressive people have said that. Let's have therapy instead of medical interventions and surgeries. And guess what? The American Psychiatric Association, which sets the standard for all these psychiatrists and therapists, has just put out a textbook written by one of the activists who's a young transgender themselves that sort of is full throat, full gas. Let's press on the gas and push everybody as quickly as possible into surgery. It's absolutely insanity. And the American Psychiatric Association won't withdraw the book. They won't comment on it. 7,000 doctors, clinicians, and physicians have signed a letter asking them to do it. They won't respond to anybody.
They won't respond to anybody? I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either. Let me tell you, I've been writing, for over 35 years as a journalist, and I write to people sometimes on very controversial issues. And I say, by the way, I'm about to print this in the New York Post or the New York Times or the Fox News or wherever else. Can I have a comment? And even when they don't want to comment, organizations will send you something back that says, we're studying it. We're looking at it. No comment now. It's under review. They ignored the open letter from the 7,000 of their colleagues that said, you're ruining your reputation. Please withdraw this book. When I asked them, including the leadership, if they had any public comment about this, they didn't even send back a get loss. Nothing at all. And so I spoke to some people who know the leadership of the American Psychiatric Association, and they said their view is it's a real insular group, and they think they can ride it out. It's a storm that will eventually be over, and everybody will forget about it. But you know what? I don't think people will forget about this, because this book is really outrageous on so many different levels.
Now, just to be clear here, there's several aspects of this. I mean, the secret files revealed last month that members of the leading transgender healthcare organization privately admitted that children and adolescents were incapable of giving informed consent. And then the 388-page report from the UK, named after the chief author, British pediatrician Hilary Cass. And Britain then went on to ban puberty blockers for those under 18, which is very, very important. But the American Psychiatric Association and this textbook. Now, is this the diagnostic and statistical manual that we've heard so much about, or is this something different?
No, this is different. So what happens is, and you're absolutely right, you just mentioned two important things. I wrote in the New York Post a month ago about the leaked files that sort of eviscerated this transgender World Health Organization that sets the standard for care. And then in Britain, they did this government report, and it was so damning on, putting people on puberty blockers and all that they banned them. One of the questions I asked the American Psychiatric Association is, why are you recommending in your textbook puberty blockers for minors when it's been disproven, even as recently as last week in Britain? They have no answer for that. This isn't the DSM. This is actually a book called Gender Affirming Psychiatric Care. It's a 400-page book. It was just published last November, and it will become the guidebook in medical schools, in clinicians, for training for everybody from nurses to general practitioners to psychiatrists and therapists for how to deal with young patients and others when they come in and they say, I identify as a different gender. And the key to this, I believe, is that the editor of this book, the person who they chose, the American Psychiatric Association put it under their mark, is their first, is a young transgender first year medical resident, not even fully a doctor yet, who describes themselves, self-described, as, quote, a non-binary, trans, queer, neurodivergent, chronically ill Jewish person, end quote. I'm not kidding. That's the description. And one of the books that this person wrote before they edited the textbook was a poetry book about her journey from a girl to a boy, then stopped taking testosterone and restarting estrogen to get pregnant. A book called Trans Abdominal Retrieval. So one of the questions that I had for the Psychiatric Association, which they didn't answer, is you have a peer review process. That's what you brag about all the time. How did you choose this person to be the lead editor for the book? Because the book has 26 chapters, and guess what? It turns out that 50 of the 56 contributors, 90% are transgender or non-binary. So you're already setting the framework up to have a book that isn't based on science or fact. And Rich, it's astonishing. It says it right in the foreword of the book. This editor says, by the way, scientific neutrality is a fallacy. What we have to do is prioritize lived experience. And then you know you're often running into wild radical theories.
Gerald Posner's with me. His latest piece in the New York Post, this is really explosive here. You mentioned in the piece that two psychiatry residents at a prestigious institution shared with you off the record that they are instructed that gender-questioning children will kill themselves if not prescribed puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. They're instructed this way. There's no proof that that's actually true, and this has become this talking point now, would you rather have a live boy or a dead girl? But there's also the other side of that, which is that you've got people who have committed suicide after going through transgender surgery, the mutilation, detransitioners who have all kinds of problems after that. But the idea that they're being told this, that gender questioning children will kill themselves, to make that the norm du jour, where everybody says that over and over again, how are they basing that? What is the data that they're using to base that on?
As a matter of fact, one of the interesting things is, and it's been exploded, it's been torn apart by others who have studied it. It's just absolutely not true. There is a higher rate of suicide and what they call suicidal ideation among people who identify as LGBT than among their straight peers and friends, a slightly higher rate. That's about the same rate you have with people identify as transgender. And there's a slightly higher suicide rate, as you said, for people who identified as transgender, went ahead and did some medical procedures, whether hormones or surgery, and then decided they made a mistake and are trying to come back to what their original birth sex was. So it's been used as a cudgel, as I say in the New York Post piece, to scare parents into going along with the process. So parents are told, gee, you're going to have a suicide here on your hands if you don't give in to what your child wants. And these two residents who are at a prestigious institution, they didn't want it named because they're afraid of being identified. This is always the problem. They said to me, they are told that if they don't prescribe the hormones and push the kids to surgery, that those children will commit suicide, and they are not allowed to talk about any other treatment option. When you don't allow science or the medicine to lead the way, but instead ideology, as you have here, you're in real problems, especially when you're making decisions about children that are going to be permanent and affect them for the rest of their life.
Now, I want to ask you another point here. And where does the American Academy of Pediatrics come into this? Because I noticed you wrote about that as well. And when I hear pediatric, my radar goes up because I start thinking of really little kids. I mean, we've played clips and talked about stories over the last couple of years of people saying that, you know, a baby in the womb can know it's assigned the wrong sex or something. I mean, nonsense. And they're talking about kids now as young as 5 and maybe even younger. Yeah. I mean, where does that all stand?
Yes, it's absolutely nonsense. It's insane nonsense. And you would normally, you know, think that it was a Saturday Night Live skit or something, or being done, you know, right, as a comedy routine, except it happens to be real. And the people running the American Academy of Pediatrics have, for the most part, embraced some of the most progressive norms of gender-affirming care, quote-unquote. So they have been no friend of slowing up the process. However, there's an instructive little element here for the Psychiatric Association, which is last year, the American Academy of Pediatrics publishing division took pre-orders on a textbook. They were publishing their own textbook on this field called Pediatric Collections, gender-affirming care. It also was as radical a book as the psychiatric book. And what happened is, this time, somebody filed a lawsuit. A group of parents sued the Pediatric Association and said they had improperly endorsed harmful care that is not backed by the evidence. And guess what? Pediatric Association canceled the book, refunded all the pre-orders. It hasn't been published. So what I said to the Psychiatric Association in a letter I sent to them is, hey, there's precedent here. You know, there are people, including your own colleagues, that think you're damaging his children as opposed to helping them with this book. Will you cancel the book? Will you be able to withdraw from publication as the Pediatric Association did? And there's no answer to it at all.
It's amazing. It really is. This is a really explosive piece here. And the other point, too, Gerald Posner, I want to ask you is, I mean, if the American Psychiatric Association is putting out this textbook, and I mentioned the DSM earlier, how do they consider, because, you know, I think there's clearly mental illness involved here. And at one point, gender dysphoria was a recognized mental illness where you thought you were in the wrong gender, sex, whatever the hell it is. And where does that stand today? Have we just now erased this notion that it could be mental illness?
So almost. So the last DSM, which is the statistical sort of manual that all the psychiatrists and mental health care experts rely on, it defined gender dysphoria for the first time. It never had been defined as that until 2013. So essentially, we're talking about an 11-year-old diagnosis. And it used to be that before that, it was called gender identity disorder, GID. You had to be like that for 2 years before a therapist would say, go on and do something to medicalize it, use hormones or surgery. Then they made it into gender dysphoria in 2013. They shortened the period to 6 months. Now they have a couple of weeks of therapy and they rush you down the hallway so you can get your first hormone shots. And they're trying to get it out of the book so that in the next DSM, it no longer is considered a psychological disorder, but it's sort of a general choice that you have with birth that everybody knows, as you said. So watch. The next DSM will definitely move it out. And you want the evidence of where that is? Rich, listen to this. The guy who's the editor, the young guy with the transgender girl who identifies as a man, Teddy Goetz, in one of the books that they have that they put out, they sort of talk about this very issue. And they say in there that if you're talking about, here's a quote from it, to maintain power, white doctors and scientists have long argued that Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities were subhuman because men and women were indistinguishable. Binary gender norms, men and women, are fake news from European colonialism and white supremacy. Now, before my head explodes from just the craziness of that, so you're now talking about people who are real ideologues. These are people who are like a cult who think that they know the truth and they have some element. They have education. They're smart in their own ways, but they're completely bought into this ideology of what it is. And even somebody like Goetz, who's the editor of this book, who talks like that about the entire process, feels compelled to apologize in the foreword of the new textbook by saying, I'm sorry that, quote, so many people are obscenely privileged because so many of us are English-speaking American physicians. So it's really a group of activists that have taken over the mental health care for children. And I'm just amazed that more Americans are not rising up and saying, this is insanity. It's got to stop.
It's insanity. And for political purposes now, we're going to deny people the psychological or psychiatric care that they need in the name of politics, because the left has an agenda that says that this is perfectly normal and can be nothing other than normal. And that is just cruel and inhumane. I mean, it really is, because go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, we have an assistant secretary of health, a four-star admiral who became famous for being a four-star admiral, was the first transgender admiral, Rachel Levine, who is a member of that world, transgender health organization that had the leaked files that showed how bad it was. And she's on the record for, you know, embracing all of this. So when you have a high health official, number two in that department, who is an admiral who, you know, is himself transgender, no wonder that ideology is being pushed by this administration.
Gerald Posner, I appreciate it. Well done here. I'll post a link to this article in the New York Post. The title of it, Non-Binary Neurodivergent Activist Ordering Psychiatrists to Push Gender-Affirming Surgery Over Therapy. Check out his website at Posner.com. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks so much.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, so we got to get into a lot of things in the 4 o'clock hour, including the fact that Biden does not want the government to have to get a warrant before it buys your data on the internet. And there's more on the whole, I guess, cannibal gate, we'll call it, where Biden alleging that his uncle may have been eaten by cannibals. Well, the White House has now come out and officially commented on that, so I'll share that with you. And that is the big story of the day, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, my buddy, my dentist, and my friend. Also, there's more on the jurors who've been picked. Now, all 12 jurors have been picked. There are five alternates who are still needed, although that number may have changed recently. Have some audio for you on some of the jurors who didn't make the cut, and also what one CNN legal analyst thinks could happen to some of these jurors as the trial is set to begin officially now on Monday, the opening arguments in the so-called hush money trial of Donald Trump this coming Monday. And now that the 12 jurors have been chosen, as soon as they get the alternates, because the obvious question that everybody's going to want to know is, well, who are the jurors? And there's been a lot of details that have come out about their reading habits, how they get their news, their relationship status. And so will they be unmasked? Will their identities be known? That is one of the questions right now. We're going to find out. I just want to remind you, though, we are going to be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, on Friday, May 3rd. It's coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow, so make your plans now. There's no charge to come to the show. You can stay over. You don't have to, but you can, and we'll have a lot of fun. The bar will be open, and live shows are always a blast. We always have a great time together. And the other thing I wanted to mention to you is that Trump is coming to Wildwood on Saturday, May 11th, and you can get your tickets to see him at DonaldJTrump.com to get your tickets to see him live in Wildwood. I don't know. They say it's going to be on the beach. I don't know if it's officially going to be outside or not. But either way, if you want to go to that, do it on May 11th. We may do something around that as a station, possibly. Let's hope. Fingers crossed. Hopefully we'll have more details for that soon. All right. Big fourth and final hour for you coming up straight ahead. Don't go away.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.